Are you wanting to create a highly prosperous photography business doing what you love? Or maybe you have a great business already and want to up your game? Then you're in the right place. Master Craftsman photographer Lucy Dumas and her guests are here to support you on your journey. Now here's your hostess and tour guide, Lucy.
The secret of getting ahead is getting started. And that's by the amazing Mark Twain. So welcome again to The Profitable Photographer. I'm Lucy Dumas, and I'm so excited about my guest today, someone who totally fits the title of a profitable photographer. If I had little buttons or something, I would give him one of the biggest ones. And we'll talk about that in a sec. So just a reminder, if you want to know more about me or my coaching or book a quick chat, just go to lucydumascoaching.com, Lucy with an I. So my guest today is Bruce Hirsch, and his business is called, what is it, Bruce?
Hirsch Studio Fine Portraiture.
Hirsch Studio Fine Portraiture.
Pretty original for 40 years old, right?
Yeah. Well, my business is Lucy Dumas Fine Photography, so I think we both have a similar concept.
There you go. There you go. Yep.
When I was trying to make it just not Lucy Dumas Photography, I started thinking about fine furniture, fine jewelry, fine art, and realized my ideal clients, that term is going to resonate with them. What were your thoughts when you named your business?
Yeah, the same exact thing, Lucy. It's funny you say that. You know, back when I was starting my business, you know, you always look at your ideal client and to see where they shop, see what their habits are, and see what, you know, their thoughts are and the things that they decorate their home with. And I think I was at a furniture store one time and it said fine furnishings. Mm-hmm. I saw that and I'm like, oh, that makes sense. So that's why we went with, fine portraiture. So I think we think along the same lines when it comes to that.
Yeah. And I honestly haven't seen people use it. I've seen other iterations that didn't quite fit me until kind of the same thing. I saw that word. It might have been on a billboard or something. And I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So let me tell you all about Mr. Bruce. He's a nomad. So partly in Florida and partly on, you said Lake Michigan?
Yeah, Indiana. Northern India.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I was born in Indiana. I'm a Hoosier. So.
All right.
Yeah. We moved when I was three. And my dad was from Central California. My mom's from Oregon. So it was by birth only. Sometimes I have a Hoosier accent when I'm tired. But sometimes people say, what part of the South are you from? No. Okay. I'm in the babbling mood tonight. So
that's all right.
If listener, if you're like, get down to business, Lucy. Okay, I will. So let me tell you about Bruce. He is a master craftsman photographer with the Professional Photographers of America. He's been in business just 1 year more than me, 42 years. And their business, so I assume the we is you and your lovely wife?
Correct. Yep, my wife, Linda.
And they have photographed presidents, politicians, sports celebrities, and wonderful families over the years. And 12 years ago, he changed his business model, and it's called Club Portraits. And we're going to find out about that. It has changed their lifestyle. So hello. Welcome. Thank you.
Good to be here, Lucy. It's an honor to be here on your podcast. It really is.
Thank you. So just in a brief few sentences, can you share how you got started in photography or a business or something related to that?
Sure. I'll go back to high school when I was playing sports. I played football and wrestled, and my dad happened to have a camera, and he used to take pictures of me playing sports. So I kind of picked up the camera and started playing around with it, and then just kept going with it. And then went to college. And then in the summers, I would go to, I lived close to Winona, Indiana, where enough any of your listeners would remember Winona School of Professional Photography, amazing place. So I studied there, you know, many years throughout the summers. And then just kept going with my business and just, you know, never looked back, to be honest. It's just, you know, something that's all I've ever done for, you know, 42 years. And it's been a great ride. My wife and I are, you know, co-owners and we do everything together. And I always say, all I do is push the button. She does everything else. So, you know, she makes my life so easy. And then we have at this time, just one other employee we've had for 31 years now, which is really, really cool. It's like, you know, she's a daughter of mine is what it feels like. And so just a nice tight knit, you know, little business that we've had and we've enjoyed ourselves and able to, you know, travel and do things and see the world. And so, it's fun.
So you may not know, I mean, you probably know that it was pretty much a man's world until maybe the early 2000s. And so I was this lone female. There were a handful of other women that were full-time working at it, not as a side hustle. And the people that I saw that had the strongest businesses were couples, where usually it was the man photographing and the woman taking care of all the other things. And I said hundreds of times, I need a wife.
Yeah.
And, and so one of my hot tips, if I was doing this all over again, I would have found a work wife that could do the things that are not my strengths and not things that I love and have a team. Now, when I did weddings, I did have an assistant that was with me at almost every wedding. And it was just great to have my sidekick that was invested in my success as well. But I'd say if you can't marry a wife, buy one.
Hire one. Right. That's great. That's great advice. You know, being a male, it's just, you know, there's so many things that ladies can do that I just wouldn't feel comfortable doing, but there's just so many other things that they, that, you know, ladies can do that take care of, you know, so many things. And I am saying that as, you know, my wife that she can take care of, but yeah, it's a wonderful partnership, having a partner, whatever that case may be, to, you know, run a business together.
Yes. Yep. I never needed a wife for like the romantic part.
Right.
But some people are more detail oriented. And anyway, moving on. So let's see. My first question is, is that the first one? So how did you get celebrities and presidents and politicians?
Being in the right place at the right time, pretty much, happened to be back in, what was it, 19, President Clinton was going, coming through our hometown, and the city contacted me, my city, Michigan City, contacted me to be the photographer to photograph President Clinton when he was coming through. He was giving a speech. So I got to spend the afternoon photographing President Clinton and, you know, all the dignitaries from Indiana, the governor, the lieutenant governor. And so that was fun. That was a great time. And then another time I got some people that I knew chose me to go photograph Mike Ditka. That was great. Got to spend the time with him. We're kind of a football family, so that's kind of fun. And then Lou Holtz and Ara Parseghian, I helped photograph them for some charity work that they do. So it just kind of happened to be in the right place at the right time. And, you know, knowing people that, you know, trusted, you know, us and what we could do to help them along with the work that they needed done. So, yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. And where was that? Where has your business?
That was in Michigan City, Indiana.
Michigan City.
Yeah. On the southern tip of Lake Michigan.
Ah, nice. Nice. Yeah. All right, got that. So
it wasn't nice. About a month and a half ago, we got 38 inches of snow in a day and a half off of Lake Michigan. It's called Lake Effect Snow. I won't go into details, but that was a lot.
Although in California, they had equal snow up in the mountains. I have friends that live in the mountains up above the Los Angeles area,
Sure.
And, and they are literally buried in snow. Yeah. Last year, a couple of them couldn't get out. And so
it's tricky.
Tricky. Yep. All right. So who were your mentors? So if people, if you haven't looked at his work, it's gorgeous. It's, I'd say, the classic fine photographs that we were trained to do when we were the youngins in this industry. So I was just wondering who your main mentors were.
Well, you'll enjoy this. A beautiful photographer, Joyce Wilson from Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Joyce, you know, I just went to, you know, she was from Indiana, so I got to see her speak many, many times. Learned lots of great things, not only photography-wise, but business-wise. She really had it going on and knew, you know, what to do, and that was great. And then I learned a lot of my lighting from Linda Lapp. Linda Lapp, I think from the Portland, Oregon area. Yep. And like Marty Rickard, he was a photographer from Iowa. Learned a lot of great business items from him. You know, just Frank Criccio, Don Blair, you know, the list goes on with all those guys. You know, so just, I would just be a sponge, just like you were, I'm sure. You just gravitate and, you know, listen to everything. And if you grab a couple of things, like hopefully your listeners will today, grab a couple of things that might help them. That's the whole idea. And then take them and implement them however you see that fits your business.
Right.
Because, you know, we're not all cookie cutters. It's nice to be able to do our own little thing. So that's what I've tried to do here, especially the last 12 to 15 years, just kind of, you know, have a real tight niche of something that, you know, not too many people are doing. So.
Right. So what I love, and you just named, except Marty, I might have sat in on a workshop, but is that all the other names that you mentioned have been strong mentors of mine as well. Joyce Wilson was the first 1 week school. We have West Coast School in California. That's like Winona was.
Yep.
And she just rocked my world. And I'd say my whole foundation of my business, it was year three and I took her class and I learned that she had this relentless pursuit of excellence in the photography. I wanted to be done. We were doing a family at their home and I wanted to be done because there were snacks, alcohol, and cute boys at the social at school. And she kept photographing and I was like kind of mad. Like, and then over the years I realized I copied her, because the thing about her was when other people would be done, she like dug in just a little bit more. She called it, one for me and one for
thee.
That's why, Bruce, I average 3 to 7 wall portraits per client, because once I've got it, you know, like, yeah, I know I've got that, then I'm looking for something new, something different. So
absolutely.
Yeah, yep. We stand on the shoulders of giants for sure. And Professional Photographers of America is at the heart of all of that.
Absolutely.
Would you agree?
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. I haven't been to a convention in a few years just because of timing, with the convention being in the winter. It's kind of my busy season now. So I don't get a chance to get there very much. But yeah, it's definitely you know, wonderful thing, you know, the sharing that goes on. And yep, it's I remember being in college and in the library in the college. I went to Ball State University, and in the library, there was a Professional Photographer magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that. That was the first time that I ever really realized what professional photography was. And that sold me for, you know, for 42 years or more. That's, you know, it's just, it's really, really cool to see that.
Yeah.
So
I have a story about Don Blair. We were in Salt Lake City where Daddy Don Blair lived. And it was raining, and it is not fun to ski in the rain.
So I
looked up what photographers are here. So we just went to his studio, knocked on his door, and he's like, come in, come in. And he gave us like a 2-hour workshop You know, that's what I love about this industry is,
right,
especially the ones that last are the ones that share, the ones that keep learning. So if you're, well, you are listening to this, dear listener, so that would include you. So congratulations on continuing to grow. Okay.
I was just going to say, I had did that same thing with Mr. Cheris in California, and he let me come in. I talked to him for an hour one day, and it was, you know, it was great. I was a big idol. You know, I idolized his work. It was amazing.
So guess what?
Yeah.
Mr. Cheris did our high school yearbook.
Yeah.
I grew up in the San Gabriel Valley, and before he was Mr. Cheris, when he was Phil. But the year I was the yearbook editor, we couldn't afford him anymore. He'd raised his prices. So I got this terrible company called Sanford. We used to say, when you think of Sanford, think of quality and then wish you had it. Because we were so spoiled with Cheris. So we all start, we all start somewhere. And okay, let's get into some meat of this discussion. I normally, well, it's always dangerous when there's a colleague that's been around a long time to do that. And well, do you remember? Let's get our dentures out and run through all the people we used to know. Okay.
Well, that's what's great about the profession, but go right ahead.
It is, because when all of a sudden something that never existed, podcasting, shows up and you've been in business for 40 years, I just, a lot of my guests are people that I've known, I've hugged, I've listened to their shows. And then I also love the new people too. We're a family.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, cousin. So tell me about the last 12 years and the, what do you call it? The club portraits?
Yeah. So I happen to, you know, have a home down in Florida. And so my wife and I would spend, you know, a week or 2 weeks down here with the kids over the holidays. And so, you know, being a business guy, I was always kind of looking at ways to, you know, expand my business. And I always did, you know, portraits here in Florida over the winter. I would, you know, clients from up north would have homes down south. And that was just kind of a natural thing. Mm-hmm. And then I got the idea of I'm a big golfer. So there's in Collier County, there's, I believe it's 80 private country clubs. And then in Lee County, where I live, there's, I think, 60 or 70 private country clubs. So there's it's a golf mecca of private country clubs. So I'm thinking, how can I work this to make it beneficial for us, you know, as a business? So I kind of put a plan together, and it was to go in and photograph all the members, kind of like a church directory, but I call it a little higher end style of a church directory. And basically, that's what we do. We go into country clubs and start photographing their members. And, you know, so we, you know, help the country club with some of the items that they need. And then in turn, you know, we photograph the clients or the members, and then we do a sales session with them. And then if we do our job right, they purchase portraits from us. So it was kind of a win-win-win for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I started with one club back, you know, 12, 14 years ago, and I think now we're over 45 clubs. So it keeps us busy. So that's why, you know, we work about 3 months down here in Florida. Mm-hmm. And that keeps us hopping. We'll do probably between 600 to 700 appointments in those 3 months.
Wow. Are you doing them on location, backgrounds? Tell me about them.
We do them on location, outdoors, 90% of the time, unless we have inclement weather. I'll go inside. And when I go inside, I use mainly natural light. That's kind of, that's my Linda Lapp. That's mm-hmm. where I learned the learned lighting and such. And I just kind of do everything natural light. And it's just kind of my style. And mm-hmm. then, that's how we photograph them. And we photograph approximately every 10 minutes, and we'll do our set of, portraits. And then we just, it's just a constant, and like, let's see, what's today? Tuesday. Yesterday we had, we're at a club and we did 34 appointments. So we're pretty busy.
How big of a team do you have to take care of that?
My wife and I, and then my one employee up north. So that's just the three of us that take care of all of that. Yeah.
Wow. So
well-oiled machine, Lucy, well-oiled machine.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are they purchasing? So if we think of it, if someone has done or seen a church directory or participated, you sign up for a time, you show up, they pose you, you smile, off you go. Now the one, it's been a while, but the one that I did, I don't know if they sent a proof or had you come back. It was still film days, but I'm assuming that you said you're doing the sale right there.
Well, we do the sale a day or 2 days or 5 days after, whenever it's convenient for them. And we do that via a join me session, like a go-to meeting is how we do it.
Oh, or in the modern era, like Zoom, like we're...
Zoom, but I don't want to see them. They don't want to see me. They want to see their portraits. So that's why we do it that way.
Oh, because go to meeting you can do.
It's just they view my screen and then, you know, it's just like I'm doing a presentation, you know, in my office or in the studio. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, they're wherever they're at. And, you know, a lot of times they're across the country or whatever the case may be. So, it works out good.
Nice. So what's kind of a range of the investment and what people walk away with?
Our average for our club portraits, I think it's right about $365 is what our average is. And it's, I have it under the assumption we came up with this, my wife and I, some will, some won't. So what? So, you know, okay, I photograph someone and maybe they don't purchase anything. So what? I've got somebody else that will. Mm-hmm. And I know we talked about this before. I'm all about having butts in front of the camera. Right. If I have butts in front of the camera, I trust our sales skills and, you know, our portrait look to that they want to buy their portraits. If we do our job, they're going to buy portraits.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, as simple as that. So, but, you know, we're doing 8 an hour, sometimes 9 or 10 an hour. So our dollar per hour is pretty decent.
Yeesh. I would not like that, but there's a lid for every pot.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've always been a wall portrait guy and I did that for years and years and I still do that. But, you know, as we're kind of slowing down a little bit and we're only working 2 or 3 months a year, this works into us, works great.
Okay.
But, you know, for listeners, it would be great because there's country clubs all over the country, all over the world. And, you know, if they could go in and talk to the right people and, you know, get it set up, they could go into their community or other surrounding communities and, you know, and do the portraits. Now, down here in Florida, most of our portraits are of couples. Mm. Not too many families here because there are a lot of retirees here.
Right.
Some of our other clubs in the Midwest, they have lots of families. So our averages are even higher at those because it's all families that we photograph. Yeah. So
when you're doing, you said you do mostly outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you get, and it's natural light outdoors. So where do you do that where you've got good lighting, because I'm one of the natural light queens that knows how to find great light and not just hope that out in the field there's an overcast sky. So
clean light versus dirty light, right? That goes back to our old days. You want to have clean light, and I look for overhangs. So at these clubs, there's always an overhang where they pull in their cars. That's where I do 95% of my work, in those areas, because I've got an overhang and then I can look and I can go different directions and have great lighting. So it just, you know, that's, you know, I'm always on edge. First time I go to a club I haven't worked at, I'll do Google and I'll look at it and kind of see the lay of the land and see what the overhang looks like. So those are the things that I look for. But
right.
The overhang's the big thing.
Yes.
Gives you protection from, you know, if it does rain a little bit or, mm-hmm. you know, especially, you know, obviously the sun. And then I can, then I bring plants with me if I have to put in spots to help my background along if I need to. But yeah, it works out pretty good. Yep.
So you use the background that's there. You don't bring in a background background.
Yeah. I do not. No.
Yep. You're a man after my own heart.
Right. Yep. That's just the way I learned. So that's how I do it. And I don't use any additional lighting. Mm-hmm. Once in a while, I'll use a reflector, but it's not very often. Because if the light is right, as you know, there's no need for anything else, you know, if you got the right light. So,
Yeah.
I don't know who taught us, but there's only one sun, and that's the, you know, that's the lighting you want to use. So,
yes. I have this little class that I call Go Towards the Light. And I used Barbie as an illustration.
Yeah.
And I start the class off with a challenge. And I know you probably can, you probably will have the answers on this. Okay. So there's this planet that has, the sun is always up between like 11 and 3. You never get a sunset. You never get sweet light. And there's nothing on it, and except you've got a great subject and a good camera, and you can ask for anything you want that doesn't come in a store to appear on this planet. So what do you ask for? Like five things.
Well, something that would give me a little bit of shade somewhere. I don't know whatever that might be. I don't know. Which are
so that's the
credentials.
Answer.
Yeah. Okay. But, shade of some sort, a tree, some overhead blockage of some sort. Yeah.
So it's a bank of trees so that you can do that first tree in the forest where you just go just under that tree, a wall so that there's shade in there and light bouncing into it, a hallway. And a garage or a window. And you and I, know what to do with all of that. And I just I get overwhelmed with the technical physical stuff. And so if I don't have to bother, and I think I learned it the most at weddings, even though I did a lot of flash photography at weddings, but I was always looking for those spots that I didn't have to just flash them or set up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just think, I mean, once you learn how to use a flash, you know, I have some friends that work that way, you know, that's their style. That's their palette. To me, I just can work faster and I can see the light and I know what I need to do. And honest, gosh, these days it's so easy, you know, with Photoshop and in Lightroom, how you can darken a background so easy. Mm-hmm. It's almost like cheating. It really is. I mean, it's just, you know, I do that, you know, just to knock it down and it just makes the backgrounds look even more spectacular.
Right. Right.
Yep.
And sometimes I'll use a location that I wouldn't have because I don't want speckled light in the background because the eye goes to the brightest part of the picture. But sure. I know, I can take out that thing or put more bushes in there. But if the lighting's not nice on the face, then I'm not happy and you're not happy, I'm sure.
You're not going to sell a portrait if, you know, the face, because that's the eyes are where it's at. And if the eyes don't look good, you're lost.
Right. Right.
For sure.
Yeah. A lot of people haven't developed that ability to see, like when you're outdoors and it's overcast and there's neutral sun coming from overhead, it makes raccoon eyes and little shadows right here. And once you figure out how to get the light directed into the eyes, then it's all golden. In fact, I want some light in your eyes right now.
So I have enough. I got squinty eyes anyhow. So.
Well, yeah, it's not as directional right in here. I can't turn it off. I don't know about you, but I'm just always seeing light and
absolutely
where it's coming from.
And walk through an airport and you're looking at lighting or whatever the case may be. Yeah.
And I'm often retouching people in my mind too. Yeah. I don't know. Do you do that?
Oh yeah. Well, I'm photographing, I already know how I'm going to retouch it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Or what needs to be done, or you know, how you light them. I mean, that's so we, you know, how to make them look their best.
Yeah. My challenge is I'm always looking at just somebody in the street, a friend that I'm talking to. One of my secrets, if I'm on a date or if I'm going to dinner with somebody and there's a window, I will sit facing the window if it's a man that I might be interested in. And I'll turn my back to the window so that I get to see my friend in the most beautiful light possible.
Ah, all right.
So that's one of my assignments.
Very interesting. That's very interesting. Never thought of that. Yeah.
And sometimes I'll do side to side, but I know this is the side I need to have my short light.
Yeah.
The difference. So anyway,
I got it.
So does this feed your fine photography world? Have you found a way to convert and turn this into decorating people's homes with wall art?
Absolutely. Yeah, because what happens is after we photograph them and they love our work, like today, I think I had two or three people that asked me about family portraits because their families are going to come visit them down here in Florida over spring break or, you know, Easter or whatever the case is. So yes, absolutely. It one hand feeds the other and it works really well. So yeah, that keeps us busy that way. And same thing in the summer. Now in the summer, when I'm back north, I don't work a lot. I mean, we do just a couple of clubs. I'm called semi-retired, I guess. So I just kind of pick and choose and do what I want to do. And really mostly up there, it's all clients that I've worked with over the past 40 years.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we, you know, kind of work with there. So that keeps us busy enough. But to answer your question, Lucy, yes, it absolutely does because they get to know you. They, you know, see the team that we are and how we, you know, make sure that everything looks perfect in the portrait. That's what they want. And they know that, you know, we're friendly, can communicate with them, and they like that. So yeah, that happens all the time.
How do you make sure that they understand that you're a luxury portrait photographer who does this as well, rather than seeing you as a quick, fast kind of photographer and having a hard time seeing you as the other? Is there a secret to that?
Well, I think they see the work and they see how beautiful the portraits look that I do in 10 minutes or less.
Mm-hmm.
They see that. And then also my pricing is basically the same as, you know, when I'm doing a club portrait or if I'm doing a family mm-hmm. portrait. So that doesn't vary. So they understand. And then all of the lead up and the prepping for clothing and all that stuff, we still treat them basically like our normal, I'll call them a wall portrait client. Mm-hmm. But they're just, you know, we're just kind of, I don't want to say pushing them through, but they're, you know, going through our system and, you know, but they still get the same treatment and, you know, same thing, you know, we make sure everything's perfect. You know, the portraits are, you know, how we pose them and how we light them to make sure they look their best. And, you know, if you can do it in a minute or it takes you 60 minutes, what's the difference? As long as it's what you want, you know, that's the key.
So, right. So you're not doing like, oh, this is 1 8x10, 2 5x7s, 8 wallets and Christmas cards for a lot less than you would do a portrait.
Right. Session. Right. No, the pricing is the same.
Yep. Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe just a touch less on a couple of small things, but yeah, all our wall portraits and everything, it's all the same price.
Got it.
Yep.
Yeah. In your system, it sounds like you're not selling very many wall portraits of these.
We sell, because they're couples, we sell a lot of 11x14s.
Okay.
Which, you know, I mean, that's for a couple, for, you know, that works out good. And that increases our averages quite a bit. But honestly, it's a lot of 5x7s, you know.
Sure.
You might cringe at that, but, you know, you look at your cost of, you know, what it takes to produce 5x7s. And, you know, when you're selling lots of them, I'm going to say, you know, there's a lot of profit in there. So you got to remember too, you know, I look at it as dollar per hour, not just per client. So that's how you have to look at it.
So it's more like a commercial shoot let's say, of a convention or something where they might do headshots or something and set up a background.
Could be, yeah.
And are paid by the hour, kind of. So how many do you do in a day on average?
On average, we probably do between 20 to 30 a day is how we work.
Okay, so that can be 10 grand pretty quick.
Yeah, in a day, sure.
The math, right?
Yeah.
10 would be an average of...
So if we do 20 and... Yeah. Yeah, well, one day it's probably closer to 5,000.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, if you have 20, you know, say it's 20 appointments and three something. So would it be about 6 grand a day? Oh. Yeah. And we're shooting.
That's not bad money. Now, if I did that, I would bring a really great salesperson and we'd set up a little room with a projector. And I would, of course, it's hard to do then 10 minutes at a time.
I did that, Lucy. I did that. And, you know, I did that and they like it. It's easier for one, the clubs, they don't want to give you a room because it's their busy season.
Right.
And that's part of the reason why we work outdoors too. It, you know, it's a, you know, just a space issue. And we found that, you know, our portrait sales, cause I did it that way for the first couple of years and we found our sales were the same. There was no difference because that's how I was trained for, you know, 30 years, you know, sit down, you know, let's project them and show you all these different sizes. And with ProSelect these days, and you know, I've been doing it for so long, I can show them sizes on ProSelect and explain all the different things that, you know, that they could purchase. It's just as easy to do it that way.
You know.
Plus with the sheer number that we do, you couldn't do it.
No.
You know, it'd be tough to do.
Yeah. Now, kind of a hybrid of that, I assume you know Lori Nordstrom. You've heard that name. She was one of the first women that really came into the educational world at the superstar level with some brilliant new ideas. And she does portrait parties.
Right.
And it's just kids, and it'll be black and white. And so someone invites their friends and they make maybe 10 appointments, one an hour. And she spends 15 minutes photographing the child. And then they go into another room and her average sales are in the thousands.
Sure. Yep.
With that. And they just pull the memory card and pop it into bridge and just do a little quick slideshow. And so there's lots of ways to skin a cat. I don't want to skin cats, but if we did.
Right.
But that's good to know.
Rat. Yeah.
But good to know that you've tried it both ways and found that for this kind of thing where you're doing quality at volume, that it works out and you can make a nice income with it and work just a few months a year.
You remember Mr. Sorensen?
Yeah.
Well, I'd studied with him a few times, and he kind of got me thinking about this: high volume and high pricing, you know, equals high profits. So that's where I kind of got that. Where he would do similar things that, you know, is it Nordstrom's or I'm not sure what.
Yes.
So I kind of, you know, I've gotten a lot of my ideas from, you know, those types of businessmen, and kind of adapted it to my own way. But
Well, I so appreciate you teaching us this. I've thought about country clubs because for me, I'm sure tons of my ideal clients are golfers and belong to country clubs, not just my ideal, but clients that I have. And it's such a brilliant idea. Even if I wasn't doing the photography, it's a great way to do something, have volume, teach a couple people how to find the light.
And
great opportunity.
Well, you're in a golf mecca as well. I mean, there's, you know, tons of private clubs, right? And that's what it needs to be, private clubs, because they, you know, if it's their own private club, they have, you know, money invested into their club and they, you know, want to show off their portraits. And it just means more to them than just a, municipal course. It just doesn't work as well with a municipal course, but nothing against municipal courses, but for this, it just fits better that way.
Right.
And for the business model.
Probably pretty expensive to belong. So, you know, they're already pre-qualified.
Yeah. In some of our clubs, I mean, some of the initiations are 100, 150. One of them, it's 225,000 to join. But, you know, so it's just kind of crazy money. But
Right.
And the nice thing about the system too, Lucy, is I don't spend any money on advertising. I think I put it in the notes, and one of them that I did this summer, Linda and I were shocked at how fast it booked up on us, but we had 142 appointments that we booked in 5 days. So we set it up and we'll usually have 2 days. Well, as soon as everything went out, all of a sudden it just filled up. And then we start adding time to it. That filled up. And then we start adding days to it. And by the time we were done, I think we had 9 or 10 days that we were at this club working to fit everybody in there. And you know, it didn't cost me anything to get 142 people in front of me. Now, we didn't end up photographing all 142 because for one reason or another, you know, somebody got sick or something. I think it was around 118 or something, 120, but still worked out pretty good. So those are the opportunities and the potential that's out there that you can see that, if I, you know, the clubs are doing the advertising for me, they're contacting their members. You're just kind of, you know, get everything set and wait for your appointments to fill up. And it's amazing to watch to do that. But, you know, I've never had any other, you know, way of that I've, you know, been able to advertise to get that many people to sign up for something that wanted to be in front of my camera like that. And they were willing to pay for portraits. So,
So do
pretty amazing.
Did they pay something initially to book?
No, they don't pay me anything. No, it's all done through the club. And some of the clubs, we will charge them a little bit. So each club is different on how we go about it. But yep.
You just answered my next question was, does the club get a kickback on what you sell?
No. They never ask for it. Now, how we do it is we will offer a gift to the member, and it looks like it's coming from the club. And it's a simple 5x7.
And so it's a customer retention, customer appreciation from them. Just like there's programs where it's an orthodontist, and the orthodontist gifts a session when a kid or an adult gets their braces off. And then the person that taught me this then shared how then you can have them upgrade to a family session. Yeah. And people are...
I've done that too over the years. There isn't a promotion I probably haven't done. Like you were talking about Lori's promotion, how she did. It's kind of the Tupperware of portraits. Kind of did the same thing. Yep.
Yeah.
I've tried it all.
And this is... I can see just like the perfect niche for family and couples portraits. And the blessing that you are giving them and their families to have portraits of, let's say, their mom and dad who are retired. They left their hometown to be where it's warmer and they don't get to see them as much. And their days, you know, sad to say, but their days are numbered. I'm at the point now, and you probably have it more, because I'm assuming it's a medium-sized town. It's not like millions of people where you live.
Right, here in Florida. Yeah, they're medium-sized, but there's like 3 or 4 of them connected that make for a fairly large size. But yeah, there's not millions of people. Yeah, I would call it a medium-sized. Yeah.
Right. So you probably get this even more, but I've started noticing my photographs in obituaries with especially some of the people I've worked a lot in charity events. And right. So you get to know a lot of people that are very civic minded. And
sure.
And it always feels really good that there's a beautiful photograph that I took of somebody, and then it's used as the way to celebrate their life. So
I beautiful never, portrait. Yep.
I never thought yep. about that, but I bet you have quite a few people. if you could keep track of them all, where this is the last real portrait. Photograph.
Well, it's funny you say that, Lucy, because you know when they're viewing their portraits, they'll always say, "Well, this is my obit picture." And, you know, Linda and I, we always tease them. We're like, no, this is your publicity portrait. This is what we're doing for you. And, you know, just kind of make lighthearted of it. But really, that's what it is. And that, you know, and I mean, we have people that say, okay, I want this and this, so I can put in my folder. So when I die, my kids have this and here's my picture, you know, great to them. That's, you know, they're just, that's their, they got it under control and they know what they want. And so, but but that's all part of it. But yeah. The age probably are from the 50s to the 80s or what we photographed down here. So,
In Indiana?
Do you do Indiana, that? It's more families. Yeah, more families because in the Midwest. Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, and I'll the 10 minutes that we're doing, I'll do a family of five, of six, you know. Mm-hmm. You got to learn how to work with children, and that's, you know, what we've done for so many years. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we get our expressions and it's easy, really. So just make friends with little ones.
Right. I always think, volume, you know, I'm not great at that. And then I've done some volunteer things. There's a group of women photographers that, members have moved in and out, but we've been around 30 plus years. And nice. So we've done things, you know, where we're doing, like we did some kids with Downs. We went to a center where the kids go. So I don't know if it's a school or an after school. And so I did volume for like 5 hours of dozens of children, special needs kids. And, you know, I know what I'm doing, and I just ticked it off. And because I wasn't looking to try to turn myself inside out creatively to make, you know, images that could be wall portraits. My goal was to take some really sweet portraits that these parents and other family members would love of their kids
they're just going to love them. Sure.
Yeah. Yep. So I was able to do that. So in a pinch, I guess I could handle it, Bruce.
you could handle it. Yeah. With your expertise, you could do it very easy, but it does, you need, you know, like I said, we're a small staff, but we work well together.
Yeah.
And it's just, we have a good flow, and it just works very easy now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh my gosh, time just flew by, Bruce. So I have two questions for you.
Sure.
I know that your Color Lab has a gift for everyone listening.
Right.
So can you share about that?
I sure can. Yeah. The lab that I use, it's called D&M Color. It's in Crown Point, Indiana. And if Crown Point, Indiana sounds familiar to your listeners, there used to be a lab there called Burrell Color that was around for years and years and years. And this would be, I call it an offspring of one of Mr. Burrell's nephews started a lab. And he does wonderful work. Mm-hmm. You know, I they call me if there's any kind of a problem or if I need anything. Or if I need something quick or whatever the case is, they're like close friends. And they are. Right. They're very close friends. I play golf with them. They're close friends. But they're just, you know, if I need something, you know, they're there to take care of what I need. So that's what I like about them. It's my good old lab man that I knew, Mr. Bob Sinito. He always had it. He was with Shore Color Lab, and he said, you want to be a big fish in a small pond. And that's how I feel at D&M because they just take care of you, you know, so it's nice.
Right. But, and so what are they offering?
They wanted a giveaway, a 16 by 20.
Okay.
So they just, however you want to do that. If you want to just mention my name, Bruce Hirsch, and it's D&M Imaging. I don't have a phone number right in front of me, but they'll take care of you for it. Yep.
Great. That's awesome. And I use Burrell for years. In fact, I was telling Bruce that I was born in Indiana And I was born in Rensselaer, which is an hour from Crown Point.
Oh, it's very close. Yeah.
And I went back a couple of years ago. I'd never been back since I was three. And I found the house that I lived in, and the person let me go upstairs. And the bedroom was exactly, you know, my first memory was light streaming in a window. And there was that east-facing window.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I'm close to Burrell. I went to Chicago from there and stopped and met everybody and saw all the cornfields.
There's lots of those there. Yeah.
Okay. Question number two is either something that you think, oh man, I should have shared about that, or just your last parting thought for people to take away.
Well, I guess it would be, don't be afraid of volume, because, you know, you can control it however you like, you know, however, like Mr. Sorensen said, you know, high volume, you know, high prices equal high profit. So don't be afraid of that. It's, you know, I used to be, you know, just, I would do, you know, a handful of portraits a week, and which was fine. That's how I raised my children. And then I decided to change the model a little bit, and it just works out well for us. So I guess don't be afraid to try it.
You know, great. I love it.
It's easy. Yeah.
Thank you. So listeners, remember to hang on after I bid Bruce a fond adieu, because I'll do a little quick summary. And Bruce, I'm so glad you said yes to being on the show, because this is a really great idea. There's probably other kinds of organizations that would be similar. And so, you know, you've given me some things to think about and to share with some of my coaching clients who might be like, I need a way to bring in some quick cash so then I can expand the business from that, you know, where you got a foundation without having to do like all the schools in your town or things like that, that are so much work.
Yeah. Well, you could, you could cherry pick, you know, the areas that you want to attract, you know, the different clubs, and pick them out and see how it works for you.
All right. Well, thank you, Bruce. I'm going to pause here for station identification. Not really. I'm going to pause and tell Bruce goodbye, but thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh gosh, I'm back. And isn't he just the nicest man? We've never met in person, even though we've been in the same world for 40 years. And so I loved talking old times. Maybe it's not fun to hear, but it's fun to talk about for me. And this is my show, so I like to have fun too. And maybe you did enjoy it. All right, let's see. Quick little wrap up is basically his idea about the club portraits, meaning golf clubs, and setting up a volume situation with couples or families, like you would do maybe a higher end Santa or some other specialty limited edition. And you're targeting your ideal potential clients if you're looking for doing luxury portraits for people who are fairly affluent and enjoy investing in quality. So that's pretty much all my wrap up I might have to say. Let me look at my notes. Yep. So anyway, I'm so excited that y'all are still listening, and I hope you're having a good season whenever you're listening to this. And that's it. So bye for now.
You have been listening to The Highly Profitable Photographer with Lucy Dumas. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please rate, subscribe, review, and share. To connect one-on-one and learn more about our coaching programs, just go to lucydumascoaching.com. Until next time, go have fun photographing and selling your work.